Today's podcast will be led by Alon Haimoff, partner and head of the entertainment and media practice at Green Hass & Jenks. He will be having a conversation with Jeff Cole. Jeff Cole is the director of the Center for the Digital Future at the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism.
Jeff, thank you for joining us today. As an expert in the field of technology and emerging media, what do you see the biggest potential game changers in the film and television industry in the coming 3 to 5 years?
Well, you know, I think what we've seen over the last couple of years is going to accelerate at a pace unimaginable, which is the real control in the entertainment business and has moved from the content creator to the consumer. One of the things I talk about, and I never wanted to be viral. You can't really try to be viral. If you do, it's inauthentic. You just sort of accept some things you say are viral. One of the things I said that became viral, which would have made my mother very unhappy because it used a word she never liked us to use when we were growing up, was nobody watches crap anymore. And actually, what I really should have said is nobody watches what is crap to them anymore. We still watch lots of junk, but we only, you know, I grew up learning about scheduling from people like Brandon Tartikoff and Fred Silverman and the idea in television that you put a successful show at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock and a new show in between. That's all dead. We know that with our work shows that for people under the age of 30, only 20% of their television is live. The other 80% is recorded or streamed. And incidentally, of the 20% that's live, it's almost all sports. We seek out what we want to watch. NBC saw this a couple years ago when they were looking at Jimmy Fallon and The Tonight Show, which was number one and still is in 18 to 34s. And they found that an hour show with 38 minutes when you take out the commercials, and on any given night, and I don't say this in a critical way, this is true of all the talk shows, and any given night produced about 6 minutes of really good content. And people were watching those 6 minutes by itself on YouTube, on Facebook. They were only seeking the good parts and watching it on their schedule. So I think that's going to accelerate. I think the biggest development we've talked about for 10 years, which we're really starting to see by the end of this year, is genuine day and date for movies. Movies shown in the home the same day they're shown in the theater. In America, the average television set is 50 inches or bigger. And I think I don't think day and date's going to work for teenagers. Movies are still the best first date experience ever created. I think seniors, the fastest growing part of the movie audience, will still go to the theaters. But I think families will like the idea of spending $50 for the family. And if you think about the cost of a movie for four people and food and parking, it gets a lot more than $50. So we think everything that I'm talking about is about control going to the consumer. When, where, and how.
Thank you, Jeff. A couple of follow-up items. Is there a market that is experimenting around the world the day and date in a more frequent and probably more intense basis than the United States?
No, it's really coming in the U.S. It's something, I mean, it's the theater owners who have been uncomfortable, and that makes sense. But the bottom line is the studios really do want to experiment with this. We sort of, in an unusual asterisk kind of way, we've already seen day and date, but it was a total accident a couple of years ago when Sony had their film The Interview with Seth Rogen and James Franco going to North Korea to assassinate Kim Jong-un. As I think everybody knows, the studio got hacked. The North Koreans made threats. Movie theaters refused to show the movie. Interestingly about that, incidentally, it was Christmas time. And one of the things we learned is most movie theaters these days are in shopping malls. And it was the mall owners who wouldn't let them show the movie because they didn't want to jeopardize Christmas shopping. But that film was not, Sony decided to pull it, and they eventually released it a little bit later, but they did sell it to Google or make a deal with Google and did release it actually on the internet the day before it was released in some independent theaters and did pretty well. So the U.S. is at the forefront, but we think day and date's going to come really fast.
Jeff, one additional follow-up question. In recent days, Disney released its financial results, and there is a concern with revenues coming in from their various networks, particularly ESPN. Is there any additional information you can share with respect to trending in that area going forward?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, this in the last 12 months, there has never been a studio, and I did some research on this, that has dominated the film business the way Disney has for the last year or so. And we've had times when two studios dominated. And yet, as incredibly successful as Disney is with Pixar and Marvel and Lucasfilm and their own films, stock market's nervous because of ESPN. I had talked 7 years ago, this is all on YouTube, 7 years ago that the whole world of television would change when HBO went over the top, they did about 2.5 years ago, and the first channel that would feel some pain would be ESPN. I love ESPN, but they have a business model that was nothing short of extortion. The business model of ESPN was if you were a cable subscriber, you paid $7 a month for it. You didn't even know you were paying $7 because it was a mandatory part of the basic bundle, and you couldn't opt out. So it was obvious, just as in the music business, when people had to pay $17 for two songs, as soon as they could pay $2 for two songs, they were going to, and if the music companies wouldn't let them, they would drive them to piracy. And it was obvious that as great a channel as ESPN is, not everybody's interested in sports. $7 a month is a phenomenal bargain for ESPN if you like sports. So the minute people could start to put their own bundles together, they weren't going to attract 100 million households. They're still going to be one of the most successful cable channels, but they aren't going to be a cable channel where every 100 million households are paying close to $7 a month. And that's really been hurting Disney. They've lost about 12 million subscribers. In some months, 600,000 subscribers in a month in a couple of months.
Thank you, Jeff. One final question. Are there any initiatives that you think would be good for the audience to be aware of? I know that you have been involved with the World Internet Project, but is there anything on the technology front that would be worthwhile mentioning?
Well, I think everybody now realizes artificial intelligence, and it's going to be in everything from devices in our home, from Google Home to Alexa, it's going to be the basis behind driverless cars, which I think change everything. We cover this, not to do a plug, our World Internet Project, which I created about 17 years ago, was based on the fact that I grew up in the world of television and was always taught that we lost a great opportunity with television. I was taught what we should have done and didn't do was track people before they had television, and gone back to them every year to see where the time for television came from, how it changed their lives. And I became convinced in the 90s that digital, first the web, now mobile, was going to be far more important than television. So believing we lost a great opportunity with television, we launched this massive project, the tracking of digital, that we thought should have been accomplished in television. We're in our 17th year, 35 countries. You know, listeners are welcome to go to our website. We don't sell it. This is all free. This isn't about, but we have great American reports, global reports. We have new initiatives on sports media, transportation and driverless cars, and banking. So, but our internet project's really our pilot project.
Jeff, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us this afternoon, and We really thank you again.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You can contact either of today's speakers by going to their respective websites. Ilan Haimov, partner at Green Hassan Jenks, can be found at greenhassanjenks.com. And Jeff Cole can be found by going to the annenberg.usc.edu website. Thank you again for joining us.